The national health insurance is one of the most important priorities facing our country over the next decade, and it's critical that a detailed roadmap is developed to support its successful implementation. We're going to be discussing a bit about that with Dr. Gulab. Dr. Gulab is the principal officer of GEMS, which is the Government Employees Medical Scheme. They are having their annual symposium, which is getting underway tomorrow and Friday here in Cape Town. This year held under the theme, The First Step Towards Universal Health Coverage. And I'm assuming, Dr. Gulab, all of the role players within the health sector are going to be a part of this symposium.
That's correct, yes. Firstly, good evening and thank you for having me on your show. It's an honor and a privilege. Yes, we've got some of the key role players. Two of them I would mention. We've got a senior representative from the Department of Health, Dr. Anban Pillay, and then we also have the registrar for the Council for Medical Schemes, Dr. Sipho Kabane, right, and many other leading role players.
Okay. Before we get into chatting about the National Health Insurance and possibly what you and your colleagues within the fraternity are going to be unpacking over the next few days, Dr. Gulab, can you give us a sense of what the current health sector is in South Africa?
Yes, so I think maybe let me just start by saying that you were referring to the two songs that played, PJ Powers' World in Unison and Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Yes.
And they are icons of our country,
yes,
you know, and they represent, if we're talking about what NHI means for our country,
yes,
you know, then clearly a lot of it is about the legacy of our country, you know, so there's issues of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. And no other area then more clearly represents that is in South Africa in the health sector. So when you are asking about our current health system,
yes,
it represents a reflection of our past, where you have about half of our healthcare spend focused on just 16% of the population, and then the remaining half of the healthcare resources on 84% of the population. So you can see a dramatic inequality,
right,
in the spend of our healthcare resources in our country.
The aim then of the NHI is to level the playing fields.
Yes, so I think the focus of NHI, and maybe to take it a step more globally, is this concept of universal health coverage. And the United Nations, through the World Health Organization, has now declared that universal health care should be a priority of every country in the world.
Yes.
And South Africa is a signatory to that.
Mm.
And in our context, NHI is the vehicle to get us to universal health coverage. And in June of this year, Cabinet approved the NHI white paper as official policy of our country.
And what does that policy entail, Doctor?
Okay. All right, so let's start with broadly talking about universal healthcare. What does it mean? It means that all citizens of a country should have access to a basic set of services of healthcare available to all citizens on the basis of their healthcare need, not on the basis of their ability to pay or their socioeconomic status.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the starting point. In South Africa, then, with the now finalization and approval of the National Health Insurance White Paper, that will be the first step towards the implementation in our country.
Mm.
So over the next few years, what we will see is the legislative changes to prepare for the implementation of NHI. So there will be a National Health Insurance Act that will be created. The Medical Schemes Act will be amended to align with all of this, and those will be the implementation phase from a legislative point of view. On a more practical level, there will be two focuses. In the private sector and in the public sector, there will be specific focuses. In the private sector, it's about bringing the costs down. So there's high quality, but the costs are enormous. In the public sector, it's about strengthening the infrastructure, clinics, hospitals, and increasing the capacity with healthcare professionals.
Are you saying that the medical aid sector will remain with and play a role within the NHI?
So I think that NHI is a long-term path for the country. So these changes will happen over many years, and there will always be a role for medical aids to play. In the initial period, we will see a consolidation of medical schemes to improve the ability to purchase better. And also we will see fewer healthcare options, plans that medical schemes offer. And just to give you an example, there's a health market inquiry that has been underway looking at the private sector healthcare. And what it's found is that members are saying that the products that medical aids offer are too complicated, difficult to understand, they're unaffordable, and they often have to have co-payments. So part of what we will see as a result of that is that by having fewer standardized options that are simpler to understand with a standardized price, that will improve the ability for members to access healthcare.
You mentioned the consolidation of medical aid schemes. How would that practically work, and what has been the response initially from your colleagues within the medical aid sector?
So I think it's still early days, and I think there will be a lot of preparatory work before that happens. But the Council for Medical Schemes and other role players are starting to outline a roadmap towards this. Very practically, post the publication of the NHI white paper, there's seven task teams that are going to be set up looking at different aspects of the implementation, some of them looking at the basic benefit package. Another one would be looking at the consolidation of medical schemes. So there will be detailed technical work done before any of this is implemented.
It sounds extremely complex. With all what needs to be done to get this off the ground.
Yes, I think that's a very fair point, and this is a journey for our nation.
Yeah.
You know, and the journey is an important journey, and the journey is a meaningful journey. If we are successful on this path, in line with what has been done globally, it would ensure that we have a healthier nation. And a healthier nation is a more productive nation.
Absolutely.
And a healthier nation contributes to economic prosperity for all of our
nation. What have been some of the learnings from existing models elsewhere around the world?
So I think that generally speaking, whether you take Canada, the United Kingdom,
yes,
Australia, or Cuba, so both developing and developed countries, having a strong primary healthcare system is very important. You know, so in our NHI white paper, it says that primary healthcare will be the heartbeat of NHI. More practically, if I take a GEMS example, we recently introduced an option called the Emerald Value option,
yes,
which is an alternative to our biggest plan. And in there, we've introduced what we call care coordination, where a member must go to their general practitioner, and before they go to a specialist, there must be referral.
Yeah.
And what that has achieved is that it's reduced the number of specialist and hospitalization visits, and that is very much in line with what NHI seeks to achieve.
Does GEMS then, and it sounds that it does have a role to play, given that its mandate is also closely aligned with the objectives of the NHI?
Yes, certainly. I think everybody has a role to play in contributing towards NHI. That means both the private and public sector, medical schemes, healthcare professionals, and GEMS certainly has a key role to play as part of our direction towards NHI.
I'm sure that there are individuals who are very uncertain about this, particularly if they may be part of a medical scheme. Should they be very concerned that their medical scheme will no longer exist with the NHI coming in?
So I think that all concerns are understandable because change brings uncertainties. And I think what is key to give assurance to everybody is that this will be a carefully planned and gradually implemented process. It will require change across both private and public sector. And when that change is implemented, it will be done in a way that ensures that as certain provisions are changed, new options are created.
Okay.
For people.
Will private hospitals still operate under the NHI?
Yes. So I think the NHI very clearly states that there will be centralization and pooling of the funds, but the provision will be both in the private sector and in the public sector. So facilities will be accredited by the Office for Healthcare Standards. The healthcare professionals need to be registered with their relevant bodies, and then the fund will contract with these providers both in the private and public sector.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who supports the fund, or how is the fund supported?
Yes, so I think, as I indicated, there's various, firstly, there'll be consolidation of funds, both private and public, and there'll be various sources of revenue for the fund, including taxes.
Yes. All right. Dr. Goolab, with the implementation of the NHI, what are the benefits for South Africa once this plan comes off the ground?
Yeah, so I think, let me start at the most practical level. As part of the NHI pilots, the Department of Health undertook at the schools level. They assessed 3 million school kids in the poorest of the poor, quintile 1 to 4 schools.
Yes.
They screened 3.2 million children. Of them, they found 500,000 of them, half a million of them, had some kind of health difficulty, either oral health, sight, or hearing. So 120,000 children couldn't see well enough in classrooms, or they couldn't hear. Now, you will appreciate that if we believe that education is an important way to help our school kids, in grade one, surely all of us would want to have those 120,000 children being able to see on the blackboard and also able to hear. And that's a practical step towards what we can do in NHI for our country. At the other extreme, for our elderly that are suffering from either lack of sight or hips and knee problems, that, you know, cataract procedures and hip and knee procedures can bring mobility or sight to our elderly. And those are two very clear areas where all of us can unite and work towards making a difference.
Clearly a benefit, as you also mentioned earlier in the conversation, you know, the honest truth this evening, also just to equal the playing field in terms of access to healthcare. The symposium, which gets underway tomorrow at the CTICC with, as you mentioned, all the important role players involved, is there buy-in from everyone for this?
So I think this is our symposium is part of that process. You know,
okay.
So we've got key role players there, such as the Department of Health and the Council for Medical Schemes, all of them sharing information. And if information is shared, it will start taking away some of the anxieties people may have.
Will some of those anxieties and the answers to those anxieties also be published, just to allay people's fears and to get them a better sense about what the process is going forward?
Absolutely. So we encourage everybody, all citizens, to be part of this process, because universal healthcare and NHI is for all of us, and all of us need to participate.
How can we be a part of this process, Doctor?
Okay, so we will be, you know, publishing information on our website related to the symposium. So we will make that information available through our website.
And the website is?
Is www.gems.gov.za.
Gems.gov.za.
Yeah.
Dr. Goolab, Principal Officer of the Government Employees Medical Scheme, GEMS, all year in Cape Town, as part of the annual symposium, but also critically important as well. They're using the opportunity at the symposium to get in all the role players and to start the very important discussions about getting the national health insurance plan underway. A time frame, lastly? You mentioned about 5 to 10 years for this.
So I think the next 5 years will be all of the enablement processes to be set up, with a focus, as I said, on the vulnerable groups, particularly school kids and the elderly. And thereafter, by that time, the basic benefit service package will be established, and then the contracting by the fund will start to provide that.
I suspect we may call upon your expertise and insights in the not too distant future regarding these plans which have unfolded. Dr. Goolab, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being a part of The Honest Truth this evening.
Thank you very much, sir.
It's a pleasure.
It's the song that was